you where I could. Welcome. Good morning, everybody. We're all well aware, we're living in very fearful times, and I think it's easy for our faith to waver when fear is so strongly promoted every day, whether it's the pandemic that we've been through, whether it's the current situation in Europe, or whether it's climate issues. We've been constantly bombarded recently with fear. It's all around us, and it gets into our lives, every aspect of our lives. But we know, don't we, that we know from Peter's example just how easily fear can cause a believer to deny his Lord. So I think it's important to remember the actions and words of Jesus as we live in this world that's gripped by fear. We know, don't we, in John chapter 19 and verse 10, that Pilate makes a very bold claim, which on the face of it seemed quite true. And being in a particularly fearful situation, it would be easy to see why Jesus might be tempted to take Pilate up on his offer. Pilate claimed that he, Pilate, had the power to save. When faced with claims like this, that man has the power to save, we need to be very much on our guard. Because the claim seems so plausible, it can be easy to be deceived into accepting it. How easy it would have been for Jesus to think, Pilate's the ruler, God's put him there, he's offering to save me, so maybe I should do what he says. After all, I've just prayed for the cup to pass from me, so it's an answer to my prayers. But Jesus knew that ultimately, salvation cannot come from man. And there comes a point in a believer's life when we need to come to that same realization. To stop trusting in the world, to come out of the world, to be separate from the world, to recognize that the salvation and the things that the world offers is no kind of salvation. And that was alluded to in our reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, wasn't it? In verse 17 there, he's talking about being separate from the world. And he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And there's repeated biblical evidence of opportunities for the faithful to come out of the corruption of the world. To see that what the world offers, what it claims to offer, is really one big deception. Noah's an example. He stood out from the world of his day, and he was saved. Moses is another example. He stood up to Pharaoh and was saved. Jeremiah is another example that we have. He stood firm, even when he was in the mire of the dungeon and the well, and he was saved. All three of these examples were people that had to stand out from the world, whether it was delivering a message, and all of them really were delivering a message that the world wasn't interested in hearing. There's another example, I think, that I want to just ponder a little bit more, and that's Daniel and actually his three friends, because they all four of them show us an example of how to come out from the world, even though you're in the world. And we see it right at the beginning of Daniel. In chapter 1, we know, don't we, that Daniel was taken captive, and he was content to just have food and water, but he refused to be defiled with the king's his delicacies. He wasn't willing to fall into the world's belief that these luxury items, these other items, would make him healthier. He trusted in what God was able to provide. And later we see how Daniel and his friends are very much part of the Babylonian world system. They rose to great power within that system, but they didn't put their trust in that system. They weren't deceived by it. So in Daniel chapter 3, we see how Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did what the world thought was foolish, and they refused to bow down and worship the image. And then, a few chapters later, in Daniel chapter 6, we see how Daniel refused to give up praying to God during that 30-day period when they were told not to worship God. So we can see from Daniel and his friends how that they were subject to the authorities, but they would not compromise their faith in God alone, no matter what the circumstances were. They remained focused on God. They didn't retaliate and take up arms and try and fight for freedom, but they didn't capitulate either. They didn't just give in and believe that that world system was going to save them. And I think that example of Daniel and his friends is one that we'd do well to apply in our lives. They faced fear, but they faced it with faith. And that faith helped them see that the deception of the world, that subtle deception that the world offers, is no way to go. That there is a different way. There is God's way. And so they stood firm in their faith in God, even in adversity, even in times of great fear. And they came out of that system and stood on God's side. And I think we do well to take that example into our lives and stay focused on the faith that we have and not let fear deceive us. We do well to be like Daniel and think, what will make us healthier? We do well to be like his three friends, not to worship the image of the beast. And we do well to continue in our worship of God, even if the authorities tell us not to. We have to stay strong in our faith, even in times of fear. And I think to help us along that, it's useful, I think, to continuously remind ourselves of some basic Bible truths, things that we know are true, but maybe when we're in times of fear, maybe we forget them, maybe we don't really look to these basic truths and remind ourselves of them. And these truths are things that we've known, you know, since we took on the saving name of Christ. They're basics. We know, from what the Bible says, we know that greed is a great evil. So we need to beware it. We know that the Bible says there will be a time when buying and selling will be restricted to those with a mark or those who worship the beast. We know that the Bible says there will be a time of deception. That, if possible, would even deceive the elect. We know that the Bible says there will be a time of great fear. And possibly most importantly at the moment, we know that the Bible says we cannot put our trust in man to save. These are basic truths that we know, and we need to remind ourselves of them, because the world we live in is full of greed. Everything is based on finance, money, and the acquisition. position of things, and that motivates so much that goes on in our world. And that greed is motivating deception. People are being deceived into believing things and being deceived into denying Christ and God as the Saviour. And that deception, which is being generated, leads to fear. We are bombarded daily with fear. When you turn on the telly, when you read the newspaper, you listen to the radio, it's constant. And whilst there are horrendous things going on in this world, we have to remember not to get caught up in the fear, but to stay focused on the fear. Because if we don't, then we're going to be tempted to fall into the same traps and to worship and bow down to the things that the world says will save us. And that is ultimately the mark of the beast. But I think it's been sad in the last 2 years, when we think about it, we've been told that our God-given immunity can be improved by man. We've been told that we have a disease because technology says we have a disease, not because we have God-given symptoms. And we've been told that breathing freely, how God designed us to breathe, is wrong, and instead we should cover our mouths like lepers. It's subtle, but every aspect of what we've been told is saying to us, God's creation is faulty. How God has made things and designed things is faulty, and man has a better solution. But the reality is, man is faulty, and God has already provided the solution. Jesus was fully aware of how easy it can be to be deceived into accepting salvation from the world rather than trusting in God to provide salvation. And he did warn us in that Olivet prophecy. He warned us that the elect might even be deceived. But also in that Olivet prophecy, he says, we need to watch and pray that we might be counted worthy to escape. We need to keep a clear mind. Stay focused on where our salvation is coming from, especially when the world is gripped by fear. I want to turn to Revelation chapter 18. Because this warning to escape, to come out of the deceits of the world, is repeated by John. Obviously, it's Jesus' message to John, but it's John writing it. And in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, John warns that a refusal to listen to this message of coming out of the world system, it's going to result in sharing in plagues which were still to come. Revelation verse 4 of chapter 18. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. So there's the warning to come out of the world, come out of Babylon. This representation, really, of the power of the world, the financial, the political, the religious, whatever it is. It's that which is controlling the commerce and the way that the world runs. And we're being told to come out of it. But in case we're in any doubt what we need to come out of, John in verse 23 explains how that the whole world, all the world, the whole earth, is being deceived says in verse 23, the light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. So he's talking about the devastation of Babylon, that world system. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, but by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And that word sorcery there, in the Greek, is pharmakia. And it means what it sounds like. Medicines, drugs. It says the whole world, the whole earth, was deceived by drugs. And we've seen that. The whole world has been told that a drug is going to save them, the whole world. We've never seen anything like that in the history of mankind, ever. And we were warned not to be deceived. Medicine and drugs can help, and they have helped. But when we're told that it is the saviour, when every world leader stands up and says that, we need to be wary. And we have been told that time and again, that that's the saviour. That is going to save you. That's not the Bible's answer to plagues. The Bible's answer to plagues is always the same, and it's repeated time and time again in Revelation. And there's many plagues mentioned in Revelation. The answer that he's given is to repent. It's always the answer to plagues. Yes, there may be other things we can do. There may be medicines we can take. But first and foremost, the answer is repent. And in Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, we read how the sixth trumpet ends with the statement that people didn't repent. They didn't repent. That's the problem when we don't repent. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. And yes, the word sorceries there is again that word pharmakia. There was a lack of repentance mentioned there at the end of the sixth trumpet. And the next set of plagues is the bowls, the vials in chapter 16. So that lack of repentance there in chapter 9 leads on to a whole new set of plagues in chapter 16. And this is what the message we have to really focus on for ourselves, but also the message that we need to share with people out and about in this world, that the troubles that we see, the troubles that we experience, the plagues as they're mentioned here in Revelation, are a consequence of our lack of willingness to turn back to God, our lack of willingness to repent and to accept Jesus as our Saviour. There are a whole heap of troubles that Jesus warned of before he returns. And it's very likely that we're living in that time. We're seeing these things. And in Revelation chapter 16, we see various things mentioned. We see more disease. We see rivers of blood. We see events with the environment, with the sun scorching the earth and great darkness, we see war. And all of this happens because we don't repent. Not just the world out there, us as well. We don't sit down and think, where am I going wrong? Where am I putting my faith? What am I putting my trust in? Is it in the world and the people of the world? Or am I putting my trust in God, who, despite all the afflictions that we may go through, He is going to save me? I want to finish in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Because we do have a choice. We can believe that man can provide his own salvation, or we can repent and we can come out of Babylon, out of the world system, and be saved. And as I said at the beginning, Jesus, when he was before Pilate, he recognized who the real source of salvation was. So as we come here and we remember Jesus in this bread and in this wine, I think it's worth just remembering these words that Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And let us not live in a state of fear like the rest of the world, but let us rather stand fast in a state of faith, knowing that God's salvation is about to come. And that what we do here and now, that love that has been shown to us, casts out fear. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.